All right, welcome back. It is hour number two of the Sports Hangover coming up in a matter of minutes. We will have Brian Johnson preview, little Nichols and LSU. Shots fired coming up at 1:15. Brian, are you ready? Because one of my questions to you in our four that we go back and forth on is, if the Pels miss the playoffs, is it Alvin Gentry and Dale Demps' fault? That is one of the four that we will have. As Brian normally comes up with the topics, Pepito will throw them out there, and you can either help me win the argument, which you really don't because I always win, or you can help Brian in the East with his argument as well. At 1:30, Pepito, what do you got?
Luke Hawks and Roy Knight of Wildcat Pro Wrestling is going to be here. They got a big show at the Sugar Mill on Thursday, so they'll be here talking about the show. And also, Luke has Wildcat has a training academy. Gus, I don't know if you ever want to get in the ring.
I'm really busy.
Sure?
I'm really busy.
Sure.
So
we'll ask him when he gets here. Maybe he can...
We'll do that as well. We're looking forward as well to the rest of the week as WrestleMania is Sunday. Over the next couple of days, the wrestlers are coming in. You're going to see them all over the place doing things in the community, TV shows, you name it, the news. We got some lined up as well. Tomorrow, super excited at 1:30, scheduled to appear in studio.
That's right. Paul Heyman is going to be in studio with us. And don't forget Thursday, JR. Good old JR Jim Ross is going to return to the show, come hang out with us. And Thursday I'll be meeting the glorious one, Bobby Roode, at Access. You'll hear that audio. And also Friday, Gus, Alexa Bliss, women's champion. That's going to be a solo interview, by the way.
Yeah,
you're not going to be there for that.
I noticed the allotted time slot that you chose happened to be 11:40 to 11:50.
That's when she was available.
Minutes before we go on the air live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, Brian, in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't make that interview.
Really?
Yeah, imagine that.
It's good. When she was available.
Sure she was. Okay. Brett and Jacques, we're reaching out to you. We have your WrestleMania tickets. You won the 2 out of the 10 qualifiers. They're right here in front of me. If you can come to walk-ons, we'll give them to you. If not, we'll find a way to get them to you, obviously before Sunday. To pick them up. But again, if you want to come out there, I have them in my hands.
I'll personally deliver them.
I bet you would. You know what? On that note, let's go to Brian Johnson. At Brian Johnson 1 on Twitter. What's up, Brian? How are you?
Back in the great state of Louisiana, Gus. Good to be back.
Nice. Super excited, no doubt, to be back in Louisiana. And also, nice game tonight between Nichols and LSU, but before that, I gotta get your take. I'm sure you've seen the game-winning shots by Notre Dame against UConn and a game-winning shot against Mississippi State, and you know the Bulldogs all too well. Was it a bit surreal to see the team that Nichols lost to play in the national title game? Kind of gives you an idea where it is, right?
Yeah, well, it's been back-to-back nights of admiring Mississippi State and then Villanova. We had our trip to Philly with the Nichols men's team for our second game of the year at Nova. And Mississippi State, I was shocked they lost. I haven't been more impressed with the team in 10 years of broadcasting as I was when the Colonel women went and played Mississippi State. It was actually a close game in the first quarter. Mississippi State predictably blows out Nichols. But to see that team lose under any circumstances with the type of players and roster they had, yeah, shocked me. But Ogunle, back-to-back game, what do you want? You want drama? She'll give it to you.
Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable when you take a look at how that shot took place. But also, I don't know. I mean, I dare say maybe perhaps a little more exciting that Final Four, the ladies, than the men's, Bryant.
Oh, no doubt. Ratings reflect that. But it's funny when people talk about parity in college basketball. Yeah, not in Philly. Villanova has been the one team this year. They had, you know, a couple fluke losses. They lose at Creighton. Other than that, they found a new way to win every single game. And we played them in their second game of the year. They had just beaten Columbia 75-60. And then they go out and drop 113 on us. And it's just watching Jalen Brunson dedicate himself to being an old-school point guard. I love it. I know it wasn't the most captivating game last night, but they have one lottery player. I mean, the rest of that team is just overachievers. They lead the country in 2-foot passes. Like, what an unnecessary statistic that nobody cares about, but it just reflects on Villanova and their ability to take you to the YMCA. They'll put their goggles on and the knee-high socks, and they'll beat you up and down the floor every night.
That's a good way to put it, because my next question to you, Brian, and we'll preview here Nichols and LSU baseball tonight right here on ESPN New Orleans. The thing that I wanted to kind of get into, having seen them up close and personal firsthand, was that the one thing? I was going to ask you, what's the one thing that you still close your eyes and go, that's the one thing you took away from playing the eventual national champions earlier this year?
Dante DiVincenzo dunked when he was getting labeled as a jump shooter early in the tournament. Like, really? Dante can fly. And that Jalen Brunson is better than any guard I've seen in a long time, keeping his dribble, drawing a double team in the paint, and then it's over. And that's, you know, that's why they set an NCAA record in 3-point makes against Kansas. We tried to show and trap on every play where he'd come off that ball screen, you try to funnel him to the sideline, and he just was poised with two guards in Roddy Peters and Tavon Sadler, who were all conference, who were first team all Southland. But Jalen Brunson, you know, his dad's an assistant coach with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He has had a pro product around him his whole life, and it's never been about talent. It's never been about athleticism. It's been about working harder. And I find it refreshing when a guy like that spends 3 years working his butt off. He's not a lottery guy who's going to leave school early, and here he is as a veteran, the top guard on the top team in the country.
Brian Johnson, one's the way to follow the voice of the Colonels over on Twitter. Let's get into the action tonight. Nichols State taking on LSU. How was that trip out to Tucson to face Arizona? Outscored 31-11. It's a tough place to play, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, they've done that back-to-back years against pretty good Southland schools. That was actually the same margin of victory that they had in their series against McNeese last year. Nichols was getting guys on base, and they were producing hits. Arizona came in number 6 in the country in ERA, number 13 in hits allowed. And for, you know, a team that gives up 21 hits per series, Nichols had 29 hits. They were getting guys on. They let it 4-0 on Saturday. They had the first 9 hits of the game. But Arizona likes to hit a lot of home runs, and it's tough when you're hitting singles and they're hitting 3 and 2-run homers. They ended up hitting 5 in the last 2 games of the series. Huge ballpark. I knew all about its reputation, but until you actually step foot on High Corbett Field and you see 366 feet down the left field line and 349 into right, 405 in the alleys, no wonder they're top 5 in triples and runs and walks. Once they get on, it's over. Cool experience, great place to play, but certainly after coming back after beating Mississippi State and winning the series against right. McNeese, tough to go to Tucson and deal with an Arizona team that, you know, played for a College World Series title 2 years ago and was in the regional last year before Sam Houston State ended their season.
So, Brian, you take a look at the Tigers. They're 18-11, and it took 2 or 3 against the Bulldogs in the series before Easter. But, you know, for LSU fans, anytime they don't win in the midweek, it's, you know, some fans say it's worth something. Other people say, hey, don't worry about it. It's more about the weekend. But for the Colonels, they've played the Tigers pretty tough the last several times they've played. And it's one of those games where, look, they're ranked 17th in the country. A win for Nichols would be pretty nice.
Well, and you heard Paul Maneri yesterday talk about their RPI and how frustrating it is to have one of the highest strength schedules in the SEC and to have the number 81 RPI. Yeah, they don't want to lose to Southeastern and UL in midweek games, but when you've got to throw freshman arms out there and you've had as many injuries as LSU has had this season, you've got to figure it out some way throughout each week. In midweek games, you're allowed to be a little more creative. Nichols beat LSU when they were ranked number 3 in 2015. LSU came back and won it 3-2 last year after Nichols took a 2-0 lead in the fifth inning. But same story for Nichols. They know they can compete. They know they can keep it close. But finishing games with their bullpen, they've made a lot of changes with their roster. And they've got a cleanup hitter, a 4-year player in Kyle Knoth. He's now batting 2nd with this team. A lot of changes, a lot of tweaks for Seth Thibodeau. But, you know, the goal is the same one week in and week out. Know that you can compete with SEC teams. Know that you belong on the same field with them. And go out and show people that you belong.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see how it comes into it. Obviously, these midweek games, I always say, matter extremely a lot. And more importantly, hey, it's going to be a fun atmosphere out there. Brian, what's the key of keys tonight?
Brian Taylor's got to go 4 innings. He's been one of their best arms over the last few weeks, and he actually picked up that win against Mississippi State last Tuesday. Bullpen really struggled in games disappointing, too, because the starters had such abbreviated starts in Tucson. Colonel offense did their thing. Arizona starters only lasted 8 combined innings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Different story in tonight's game. You know that you've got a lefty who, if you can max out at 4 innings with Taylor and find a way to put up some early runs, the bullpen is in a much better position. But if it's another short start and you've got to turn to a bunch of inexperienced righties and lefties making their college debut in Alex Fox Stadium, mm-hmm. could be a tough night.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll listen to it right here on ESPN New Orleans. Brian Johnson, the voice of the Colonels at Brian Johnson 1. Have a safe bus trip up there, man, and have fun tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, for sure. We'll take a quick break. Shots fired. Brian, are you ready? Have you done the stretching? Have relaxed? Have you zenned in? You ready? Because you're going down.
I have, you know, so many more times before.
Yeah. You've lost each and every week. Sports Undefeated. Hangover continues
Never
next.
Lost.
Live from Walk-Ons in Metairie.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ooh, making it seem like it's a big deal. It's real simple. Pito will throw out a topic. Brian and I will go back and forth. Feel free to help our arguments. Call us. Tweet us. Part of the case that we could make. Mm-hmm. Sort of like first take, sort of like around the horn, but you can be involved in the argument, if that makes sense.
It's going to last all of 13 seconds after I knock you out in the first round.
That's it.
Oh, well, let's
start
see
us
about
out,
that.
Pepito. What you got?
Number one, if the Pels miss the postseason, is it Gentry and Demp's fault?
Your topic, you start, my man.
Hey, real easy enough. No, it's not. Because just a week ago, when they were doing the 10-game winning streak, everyone was saying what?
Extension.
Everyone was saying how great they could be, and look at the job that he's done. So they go on a couple of games skid here, and all of a sudden it's fire everybody. I started seeing that in social media. Here's a very real reason why this team is struggling right now. They're not as good as maybe that 10-game winning streak was. You have to use a lot of energy, and maybe they're running out of little gas here. And your MVP player, no, he didn't stop being an MVP player like some might suggest on social media. The guy might be not injured or might be a little tired. Imagine that, gassed. He has to put up 30-plus points a game, do double-digit boards. Drew Holiday has to go super Drew Holiday. Maybe it's the hair, Brian. I don't know. Hair, you know, maybe we can do a study on what hairstyle provides more points and assist from them. But the point is this. I don't think it's their fault. I don't think it's his fault at all if they miss the playoffs, because just last week they set extension on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what you're going with. That's the best you can do. Don't fire him because last week we thought something different. You can him. You can him. You can them. You can everybody. Pressure wash the entire building. Why? Because they choke. Right there for the taking, and they choke. And what's been Gentry's biggest knock? He can never get his team over the hump. Had Phoenix right there on the cusp. Playoff team. You know what? No, they flopped and they go right back down. This is why you have to get somebody in. If Gentry can't get it done and take this team to the playoffs, if Dell can't get it done, you find somebody who can. That's only but for so long you can take a team, and all of a sudden they fall off the cliff. How long has Gentry been employed here? How many playoff appearances? So let's just keep him around just because old Gus says extension. Well, last week you looked like an extension, coach. This week you're done. No, fire everybody if they miss the playoffs.
That's unbelievable. Jimmy. Chime in at 800-998-1003. What side of the argument you on, Jimmy? Who you helping here?
Hey, what's up, Gus?
What's up, bud?
Hello.
Yeah,
hey, man, look. Hey, look, you gotta pressure wash it like your buddy said. You gotta clean house. Listen, Gus, your buddy's right. Because, look, you gotta pressure wash it. Even though Demp did a lot to bring in some talent this year, I'm gonna give him credit, even though I didn't like him last couple years. He brought in Rondo and Boogie, but let me ask y'all a question. Have we ever had a big player come here voluntarily to this city, the Hornets or the Pelicans? Because I'm looking at it, Boogie came here in a trade, Davis came here in draft, Chris Paul in a draft. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Baron Davis was part of the Shin Charlotte Hornets, so was Jamal Mashburn. So what do we do to make this city a destination, a place where players want to come play? Because, look, like your buddy said, if we keep sticking with Gentry and we miss the playoffs again and again or barely make eight seeds, it's just not cutting it. Davis is going to cut and run. The fan base is apathetic. Gail might have to make a move. She might have to make her first big decision soon. And you know what? I could keep maybe keep Demps just because of what he did this year, but you got to get rid of Gentry. You got to get rid of Gentry, like your buddy said. Pressure wash everything. And since Demps and Gentry are attached at the hip, get rid of Demps too. We have to show the city, and we have to show NBA free agents that this is a place you can come play at, not a place to end your career at, like you know, an old dog going to the SPCA. It's sad, and we got to do something because look, tomorrow night's a big game. Denver's on our heels. They got the elevation factor on their back. I think they're going to jump us. And we're looking at 8th seed at best. So everybody needs to come out to the games. If not, Gale needs to pink slip Gentry and Demps. Simple as that. Your buddy's right.
He gone.
Jimmy.
You know what? I like Jimmy. Jimmy, you can call back anytime you want to, man.
800-981-0003. Anybody on my side of the argument to
why
at least make this even Stevens here? I'll give you a few seconds to chime in at ESPN Radio NOLA as well.
All right, topic number two, college football. Did you see that?
This is right out of my wheelhouse because if you paid attention to what the NCAA gave us, they gave us multiple teams who had shot after shot after shot at the title. Loyola Chicago actually had a shot at winning the game versus Michigan and playing in the national championship. You know where that can't happen? College football. Why? Because they don't allow the mid-majors and the smaller schools even a chance. There's no reason UCF shouldn't at least have a chance to play for the national championship. If you lose, you lose. Michigan took care of Loyola Chicago. Fine. But at least give them a shot. College football doesn't even allow it to be. And I think it's a crying shame because what happens if you get an upset? I mean, what happens if Loyola Chicago shocks the world and they beat Villanova? They were very much a mirror match for them. What happens are you talking about feel-good story, selling merchandise? Well, you're missing out on tons of money because if UCF was to compete and beat Alabama, oh my goodness, could you imagine how old Nicky Saban would look if old little bit of UCF beats him?
I'll say this, Brian, I 100% agree with you on this.
You should.
Not because you made the case an argument, because I have been saying that's my biggest problem with college football and why so many people love college basketball. Because you do have that opportunity. I said this last week in the week that the dance started, Brian, remember? I said spring ball's going on right now.
Yeah.
Right? You got the spring games coming up over the next couple of weekends. Pick a university, name a university. If they're not in the Power Five, you're doing it for nothing.
Yep.
Because your best bet is a bowl game. That's it. Tulane can go undefeated in the American Conference.
Yeah.
UCF did. They got a nice bowl against who? An SEC team.
What'd they do?
Yeah, well, they won.
Exactly.
But my point is, that's it. Congratulations. Here's your gift basket of chicken fingers or whatever it is that you got, the Chick-fil-A thing, and that's all you get. And I think it stinks because you don't have an opportunity. I've said this before, expand the playoffs. Don't give me this business about they got to go to class, because no one says that about basketball. No one says that about, where's everyone about all these LSU players got to go to class today?
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah,
got a
yeah,
game.
Nobody's worrying about it.
How about Nichols? They got, no one's saying that. No one says that about baseball or basketball, but all of a sudden we can't have a playoff because they're going to miss class. This just in, early in December, it's called fall break.
Yeah, there's no class.
Yeah, for two or three of those weekends, there is no class as it is. You have time to do that, and more importantly, you do the Power Fives, conference champions, boom, you're in. Conference USA, American Conference,
yeah,
you're a champ, boom, you're in. And then you have two, you know, wild cards.
Large, wild
exactly,
card, whatever
do whatever you want
yeah
to do and have fun at it, because, Brian, I'm 100% agreeing with you. It stinks. You don't even have a chance.
Nice.
Game one, day one, practice one. You can't go in and you can't go do it. We have somebody that wants to chime in. Eric, thanks for giving us a call here on Shots Fired. Whose side of the argument are you on?
Yeah, God bless you. I'm going to have to let Gentry go if they don't make the playoffs. You know, the reason they're in the situation now, because mentally, you know, they were so cocky, they thought that they can just beat all the scrubs, and they end up losing those games. Now they're in this situation now. Then last week you said they're too tight. You know, they're too uptight, and they need to have fun. Therefore, they're losing these games because they're playing so tight. So it seems like he just has a hard time getting his team mentally prepared for any sustained runs. He did have a 10-game winning streak, obviously. But again, now they're playing too tight. Before, they're too cocky. So, you know, you need a coach that's going to keep the team on an even keel so they can win on a consistent basis and make the playoffs. So if he doesn't make it, you know, I think he's had his chances.
All right. Eric adding to the score. Viking Luke adding to the score as well. Gentry isn't getting us to the next level. This is a playoff team with me coaching it if they're healthy. Why keep settling for mediocrity? I mean, Who do you credit then for the 10-game winning streak? Who do you credit for this team to even be in the position to be in the playoffs after Boogie Cousins goes down?
Anthony Davis. That's it. Rajon Rondo, maybe. How about Boogie Cousins, who gave AD a call and said, hey, you want to wake up?
What about Alvin Gentry and Dell Demps, who got you Miritich?
Oh, Miritich. How's he doing right now?
Moving on.
He couldn't hit the beach if he was standing on a... I mean, what are you talking about?
What is our next one?
Number three. Here's a good one. Okay. Rest in peace to boxing.
Ooh.
I get a little upset whenever I hear boxing is dying, boxing is dying, MMA is all the rage. You know what? They're right. MMA is a very popular sport. Love it. I love kickboxing like I love my wife. It is okay. She's not going to get mad if I say that, I don't think.
She might shit in here.
Okay, good. Okay, with that being said, I love kickboxing. I love mixed martial arts. But boxing is not dying. How do I know that? Because the numbers tell me boxing isn't dying. I tell you what. Let's say you right outside in this parking lot. You put up a basketball goal. You let LeBron play against Michael Jordan one-on-one. And then you take two of these big, you know, guys over here that are sitting next to the table next to us. You put them outside. You let them start fighting. Do you know where the crowd's going to go to? You got LeBron and Jordan on this side. You got two big guys fighting on that side. Guess where the crowd is going?
LeBron and Jordan.
Yeah, right. They're going to go to the fight because somebody at some point is going to get knocked out. The numbers suggest that boxing is not going to die because no matter how big of a draw Conor McGregor is, he ain't outdrawing Canelo and Triple G. Put him in a ring with Floyd Mayweather. You get a spectacle. Put him in a ring with anybody else, you don't. Why? Because you put him in the ring with a boxer. The end. You lose, don't even try.
Well, the Rougarou, who was in town, who was in studio last week, kind of said the same thing.
The numbers,
yeah, the champ, with the really nice belt.
Yeah.
Flat out, the numbers in the pay-per-view suggest that boxing isn't dying. And I told you, when that heavyweight match took place, man, I was riveted. I could not take my eyes off of it. There's still a lot of skill involved in it. And I'm not saying there isn't in MMA. That's not my point. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I'm wrong in saying this, but there's a certain regalness to boxing.
Yeah, that's why it's called the sweet science.
You know, and when you see those... The way it's spoken about, and look, back in the day and for a long, long time, if you were champion of the world, much less the heavyweight champion of the world, people knew you on a first name basis like Jordan, like LeBron.
Exactly. And if you look at the way boxing is right now, you just take a look and you see after Muhammad Ali, boxing is going to die. Up comes Mike Tyson. After Mike Tyson, the heavyweight division is gone. Nobody's going to pay attention. Up comes Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, Trinidad, and on and on and on. And after Floyd Mayweather, now you have Triple G and Canelo. The next star is always on the rise for boxing. If you don't have Conor McGregor, who are you going to watch if you're watching MMA?
Pepito, how do you block someone on Twitter?
You just click block.
You just click, okay, because Viking Luke says, change the name of the show to The Sports Hangover with Brian and Nola East.
My man, Viking Luke.
Oh, of course you would want to block that.
I was just saying, I mean, I don't need that kind of negativity.
So jealous.
Let's see if you can pick it up here,
okay,
Gus.
Right, here we go.
Number four, last topic, helmet rule. Do you feel safe now?
This is really simple. The new helmet rule came out, and of course,
everyone's safe.
Yeah, everyone is safe. Here's what I have a problem with. The NFL, I'm tired of them trying to sell me this dream that they're all about player safety.
They are.
You want to be about player safety? Yeah. Stop playing Thursday football games. Oh, you won't do that because the cash cow is saying you can't. You can't tell me anything about player safety if you're going to make guys play a game on a Sunday and then play a game again on a Monday and their bodies haven't recovered just yet. Don't sell me this dream about player safety. That's not the truth. You're only doing it to protect yourself from a future lawsuit that's coming anyway because guys are going to start hitting each other low and tearing ACLs all over the place.
All right, it's coming. The new Thursday night Fox package, remember?
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple of weeks back when it came out right after the Super Bowl. Couple of million dollars. I'm sorry.
Billion.
$3.3 billion.
Yeah, billion.
Just for Thursday night football. But of course, it's for player safety, right?
For safety
reasons. It's for player safety because obviously when you take away the hitting of that, you can't make football safe. But by virtue of what it is, regardless if you don't use the helmet, when you're running at full speed and I'm colliding with you and you hitting a ground,
it's a car crash.
You're going to get injured of some sort of way. Now, you can continue, but you're going to get bruised. You're going to get sore. It's impossible to make it safe. I mean, it's a sport that's built on hitting.
Fast-paced collisions. Did anybody remember that Reggie Bush hit?
Yeah.
that he took when Drew Brees kind of loped it out, that was not a hit with the helmet. He almost exploded.
What do you do in the fall or in the spring? Do you watch the National Flag Football League?
Oh, no.
Does it exist?
No.
People don't want to watch flag football. People
not at all.
Want to watch the hits. People want to watch a physical game. When we sit there in the stands, we're sitting there going, get in there, hit them. Put them down.
Exactly. I mean, it's not that you want to see anybody injured or seriously injured and they have to live their lives afterwards. You don't want to see that, but you want to see
exactly.
The fast-paced collisions.
That's not what we're saying.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's just a whole pretense. You can't make it. You can do certain things to take elements out of it, like
right.
Baseball took away collisions at the plate.
Right.
Fine. That makes sense. Maybe some purists say it's part of the game. But when you're not looking and you get bulldozered and trucked, that's probably not good.
Kind of like you got just now.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
The timing on that one.
And on that note.
And on that note, it is 1:28, which means we have to hit the bottom of the hour. Come right now.
Yeah, coming up next segment, Luke Hawks, Roy Knight, Wildcat Sports Pro Wrestling is in the building. They got a huge, huge show coming up this week at WrestleCon on Thursday. So we'll talk that. The Wrestling Academy, everything Wildcat, man.
Those
it's going to be good.
Pro wrestlers. Those are like basically the X-Men sitting right next to them.
That's exactly right. And shockingly, I'm busy, so I can't really take any of
those classes
right now. Of course
you are. Put him through a table.
We're getting you in a ring.
We're
though.
Good. Yes. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Gus is taking a break because he's quite intimidated by the amount of muscle that is sitting at the table next to me. It's a whole lot of muscle. Glad to be joined with Luke Hawks and Roy Knight. Big, big show coming up. It's WrestleMania week, but Thursday, huge, huge show. Again, the trickle-down effect of WrestleMania goes into the independents, and it's locally here with Wildcat Pro Wrestling. Luke, welcome to the show, first of all, and let's start off, man. What's
Thanks
happening
for having
Thursday,
me.
Bro?
Oh, massive, massive show. So we got a 10-match lineup, which is our biggest card ever. It's going to be at the Sugar Mill. Doors open at around 4:30, 5 o'clock, I think, and the show starts at 6 p.m. sharp. We'll be over by 9 p.m. Like I said, 10 matches. Of course, we got myself and my son versus Roy Knight and his son, Ricky Knight, versus Bestia and Damian Seis from Mexico, which is an international father-son tag match. And this match is huge for me, not only for the fact that it's the first time I'm tagging with my son, but I'm very close friends with Roy and Ricky and with Bestia and Damian. Our families all kind of are close-knit.
They're friends. Wrestling families.
Yeah, wrestling families. And we're all similar, like best friends.
Yeah.
So we all want to go in and put on the best show as possible and come out and shine, but we all want to make sure everybody has the best match possible. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all real competitive. So we've been playing sports the whole time they've been here. We've been playing football and air hockey and everything. So everybody wants to go in and do the best job.
Sure.
So it's this is the first time it's ever been done. You know, it's never been done in any other promotion, never any international tag matches, father-son tag matches, any promotion ever. So this is really big for us. And like I said, it's really sentimental to me.
Yeah.
And then it's Roy's second time in America. Roy hasn't been in America since 2002. So.
Yeah, the old ECW arena. That's where I met Luke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Old ECW arena.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. 2002, back then.
Yeah, he was here wrestling Jerry Lynn, for XPW.
Joey Matthews as well.
And Joey Matthews.
Yeah.
Now, is your second show working with Wildcat? Your first time working with Wildcat?
It's my first show with Wildcat. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Now, what's cool about this? I mean, it's families having a big match here. Roy, talk about your family growing up in the wrestling business.
Well, my whole family wrestles. So my dad, my mom, obviously Paige in the WWE, my brothers, uncles, cousins.
Yeah.
Everyone just wrestles. That's part of, we're like the hearts of the UK sort of thing.
They just made a big movie about him. The Rock actually made the movie.
That's right,
Tell them about your movie.
Yeah, the movie's come out by The Rock. That's called Fighting With My Family. That's out in September over here. So Stephen Merchant is directed that. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. That's about my sister and the whole family as a whole, coming from nothing, her being a star sort of thing.
It's great because, I mean, your family, you want to talk about wrestling lineage. I don't think y'all's family is really talked about as much as, like, say, the Von Erichs and a lot of the other families.
No, over here, but in the UK, if you go to the UK.
Yeah, the UK, they're huge.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the UK, ask who the Knights are, which is our wrestling name.
They have a company called WAW, which is massive
over there.
Yeah. So we've been going, like, 30 years now, so...
Yeah. Well, hopefully that movie will do some promotion for it and get
this side,
this side of the pond for sure.
And then you had the legendary side of Bestia and Damian. See, Bestia is one of the biggest stars in Mexico right now. He works
for
the Crash of Lucha Stars. Yeah.
Yep.
And then his dad, Damian, was in WCW, FNW in Japan. If you go down to Mexico, you travel to Mexico City, Tijuana, any of those cities, you see murals painted all over the walls of his dad and Blue Demon and you know, all the little park, all the legends. So it's really cool. this is the first time that my son gets to get in the ring with those guys as well. So it's big for me. My son was a multiple-time state champion amateur in freestyle Greco, went to Grace King High School. So he's been wrestling about 6 months, and now he turned pro. So it's huge. Everybody, and then Ricky Knight Jr., tell him a little bit about Ricky Knight.
Well, Ricky Knight's been wrestling since he was 10. His first match was 10-year-old. He's been tipped for the top. He's the best one out of the whole family at that age.
Now, I do want to say this because people might think that's funny. Like, it's absurd here for me to hear it, but over there, that's what they do.
It's normal. Also, in Mexico, it's
right,
a normal thing.
They start them young. Like, here we have all these age restrictions and, you know, commissions and this and that, which hold them back. Over there, they start wrestling when they're born. You know, they have a real technical chaining system, which is technical wrestling, kind of like grappling. Mm-hmm. Well, it is grappling, not kind of like grappling. Yeah, catch as catch. So, they start that out young, and they have a grading system. Tell them about the grading system.
Yeah, basically, we have the kids' classes. We have got about 80 kids. They start at 6 years old.
So it's really an academy.
Yeah, yeah, from 6 to 8, 16, and then they go into the adults. Once they go into the adults, you go from the A grade to best grade, B, then C grade sort of thing. So
that's great. That kind of works like the football academy.
Yeah, basically,
in Europe
too. That's exactly how it is.
That's crazy.
We start
that's
with
awesome.
We're the biggest sort of company in Europe for academy sort of thing. Wrestling.
Well, let's stick with the academies, Luke, because obviously Wildcat Pro Wrestling, Wildcat Entertainment, obviously, has your own academy. You do it here locally, right?
Right, we do it here locally. We got our TV show here on Saturday and Sunday night. Saturday at 10 p.m., Sunday's at midnight on UPL My54. And then we run live events about every 8 weeks here. But we have a wrestling school based out of Jefferson, Louisiana, and we have about 35 guys right now. So if anybody's interested in that, they can check out our website. It's wildcatwrestling.com. That's cat with a K, WILDKAT. So wildcatwrestling.com, and you'll be able to check out any information about our shows or about our wrestling training.
Let's talk about the academy a little bit more, of the training school. When you get applicants in, I think it was probably different from when you broke in and when I broke in for a little bit.
Massively different. Yeah, because you know.
What are the restrictions now? It's like a young kid's coming to you, 18, 17, 19 years old. He wants to get in the ring.
Well, the problem I've run into mostly is everybody wants it quick.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to put the work in. You know, they come in, they think it's what they see on TV, they're going to throw their hands down, pyro's going to come out of the turnbuckles, and, you know, they don't want to do the workouts, they don't want to do the squats, the push-ups, the sit-ups, like, what does this have
putting
to do with
wrestling?
Putting up the ring, they don't want to do any of that. Because everything's so accessible now, these guys write guys on Facebook and they become friends with them, or you know, internet buddies with them, and then they're like, oh, well, maybe I can get out of doing the work if I can become buddies with this guy on social media. So whereas, when I was breaking in, we didn't have social media. So you'd know there was a show in San Antonio, and you'd have to drive 8 hours to San Antonio and go, hey, I'm here. I want to put up the ring. I'm a wrestler.
Offer
yourself. If you need an extra guy, please, you know, I'm more than willing to work. And sometimes they tell you no, you'd put up the ring, and you'd drive 8 hours back home.
Sure.
That's just how it was. Nowadays, you know, you see every show that's on social media. Everything's advertised. You email it, goes, hey, here's my demo reel. It's on YouTube. Here's my pictures. That's, you know, digital pictures. Like, all that's made. And in a way, it's great, right?
Yeah.
Because it does make things simpler. It makes things easier. Celebrities are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to and tweet The Rock right now, and there's a chance that The Rock will respond to you. 20 years ago, that would have never happened.
No.
You know, it was a freak. If you've seen The Rock anywhere, you're freaking out because it was just so absurd that, like, you'd have some kind of being, you know, 10 feet away from him, even 100 feet away from him. You go, oh, my God, there's a Rock standing over there, a football field away, and you're taking pictures.
Sure.
Now everybody's accessible.
Very accessible. Well, let's talk about sort of how coming up in independent pro wrestling and Raw, you could also tie that in from the UK point of view. When you get into pro wrestling from that independent level from the very, very beginning, you're not making any money.
No, it's really
no
tough.
Money. In fact, I remember sharing envelopes with guys with $15 crumpled in, and we shared a few bucks each other.
Right, and it's really not about the money. It's about the love, because here's the thing is you got to make guys like me and Roy Ray, we make good money now, but excuse me. Starting off, you have to build a name for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to make people want to see you, because it's easy to be a performer, right? We can put anybody on a show, and likely the fans are going to cheer or boo them if they do their job correctly, but you can put anybody in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make yourself valuable. You have to make yourself be a top guy, which means you have to be the best wrestler. You have to have fans. You have to be entertaining. You have to look good. There's so many different
variables.
Yeah. Just so many different things you can do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't have to have the best body, but you have to connect to the fans. You know, because if not, anybody can be in that spot, and like you can get hurt tomorrow and somebody. So why would you pay a guy or want to pay a guy a decent amount of money if he's not selling any tickets for you? If nobody, if somebody else can come and fill that spot tomorrow, and most of these independent shows, let's be honest, they don't draw any crowds. They're drawing 30 to 100 people, and most of the wrestling's really bad. Where you come to, that's the difference between a Wildcat show.
Correct.
Where you come to a Wildcat show, and we got 1,000 people, and every match is good from top to bottom because everybody's trained properly. I have a massive problem with anybody just buying a ring and starting and saying, hey, we're pro wrestlers now, we're going to train guys, and we're going to run shows. And that's common across the United States, where anybody can just buy a ring, and all of a sudden now they're a pro wrestler because there's no qualifications. Unlike y'all talking about football and boxing earlier, you can't just say, hey, I'm a professional boxer.
Sure.
It's like, well, where's your record? Where, you know, what qualifications do you have? Football, you have to go through the collegiate system. You have to, you know, and then get drafted to be a professional baseball. You can, well, wrestling, you just go, hey, yeah, well, look, I'm on this show and we're calling it pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it, sometimes that gives guys like us a bad name because people like to lump in the independents all in one circle.
Yeah.
Anything outside of WWE, they'll lump it all together, which shouldn't be. There's
levels of independents.
There's very much levels. You know, there's in Ring of Honor, Wildcat Sports, Santino Brothers, Booker T's ROW, Reality Wrestling.
What culture wrestling across the pond. Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's same thing over there.
Yeah.
But the thing is over there is they tend to weed out a lot of guys. You know?
That's what I was going to ask you, Roy. Was it kind of the same thing that he was saying, like guys just saying, hey, I'm going to set up a ring, charge somebody $2,500 and train you. And they're not getting anything out of it.
That does happen, but we get rid of them sort of thing. That does happen. But because wrestling is such a hotbed at the minute.
Self-policing in a weird way with the business, right?
Yeah, Britain's so busy at the minute with wrestling. Honestly, there's shows everywhere, but they're doing so well. They're getting 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 at most shows. You know, you got Red Pro, WAW, you got, like you just said, ICW. You got so many good promotions. When the crap ones come, we basically get rid. Yeah.
I think what's changed now, too, obviously NXT, the Performance Center, that's sort of their WWE's
which I just went down
club.
There.
Yeah. Or you were down to the PC.
Yeah, I just went down to the Performance Center coach for a couple weeks last month.
Oh, wow.
So, and it, phenomenal place. That place is set up for you not to fail.
Right.
If you fail and you don't make it through that system, it's because you're lazy or you don't want to be there. Because they offer you everything. Something, again, which I didn't have coming up. You know, I was paying for wrestling training. I had to move across the country to California. I had to drive, you know, thousands of miles at a time to get on shows.
Yep.
These guys, you go to a training, everything's scheduled. They have, if you're foreign, they have English classes for you. They have finance classes. They have, you know, to make sure your money's managed correctly. Your check's there every Monday. You know, they just,
you're, that's insane.
You're basically babied. You know, you're basically babied.
Which is so different from most wrestling.
They have
most wrestling.
Yeah, it's like, hey, from 10 to 11 o'clock, you're in the gym with these personal trainers. You got a strength coach. You have a personal strength coach with you that you're not paying for, that their company's supplying for you. They have doctors. They have medical staff on hand. So everything you do is monitored. Everything. It's like I said, if you fail, it's because
it's on you.
It's on you.
Yeah. That's amazing. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Luke Hawks and Roy Knight. Again, Luke, tell us about Thursday real quick before we go to break.
Thursday, 6 p.m. at the Sugar Mill, live Wildcat Wrestling. We got 10 matches. We got how long we got? How long we got?
Oh, you got a few minutes. Go
ahead.
Okay,
because we got the Father-Son International Tag Match. We have a championship Wildcat heavyweight title match with Billy Gunn, Jay Spade, Bob Holly, Stevie Richards. We have Socorro versus Jeff Cobb versus Jace Fowler, a women's match, Rachel Ellering, who was just back from Japan in the WWE Women's Tournament against Savannah Evans. We have – I'm trying to think of everything off the top of my head. I should have it pulled out in front of me.
You booked it, right?
Right. Like I said, we got 10 matches, man. Big card. We have Hurricane Helms teaming up with Edger and Stone against the Pump Patrol. Matt Lancey versus Danny Flamingo.
Oh, good.
Who's the Shao Mason
sensation. That's right, Shao Mason sensation.
So these guys go at it, and they go really hard. Take a break, man, and when we come back, I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a quick break. Luke Hawks, Roy Knight's here. We're going to talk a little more. Nope, that is not Gus Kattengill. Gus is still scared to get in the ring. He didn't even want to speak to Luke Hawks and Roy Knight while Cat Pro Wrestling.
I don't blame him.
Luke, I'm trying it. We need to get Gus in the ring for a session.
Let's do it. You tell me when, we'll bring him over to the training center.
Oh.
Yeah,
we'll you have to run the ropes. You have to run the ropes.
He might not wake up the next morning.
Oh. Good luck rolling out of bed the next day. No, but we're talking about Wildcat Pro Wrestling's big show coming up this Thursday. at WrestleCon. I want to go back and let's go back with Wildcat Pro Wrestling. When did you start your independent promotion?
We started in June 2011.
2011. What made you want to start it?
Well, it was lacking here. You know, the South was a big hotbed for wrestling in the 80s and early 90s, and that faded off. And when I wanted to train to be a pro wrestler, I had to move across country. So it was really rough for me because it's hard for anyone to leave home. You know, you got to leave what you
especially
know.
Especially here.
Yeah, and the good thing about me was I was kind of a loner, and I grew up on the streets, and I went to a boys' home. So I didn't leave, say, a big family or anything like that. You know, I had a young son here, and I was married at the time. Mm-hmm. But so I had to leave that. My plan was to bring them with me after I got my feet settled. But I didn't want that for other people here. I figured, man, we can start a school here. And once I had the qualifications to train,
sure.
That's the thing. I didn't want to start it early. I waited till I was wrestling for over 10 years.
You wanted a resume before you just built up a ring and say, all right, start training.
Because yeah. I was very against what we were talking about earlier.
Sure.
The guys just, starting a school. So I wanted to have a good resume. I wanted to make sure my fundamentals were sound. So, and that's what I did. So in June 2011, we started it up. And then we came into the problem, well, we need to find a place for these guys to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't just send them out there on these crappy shows. So I had to make sure they had good people to work with. Well, hence the promotion. Okay, we'll start running shows. And then, we grew from a bar room in New Orleans drawing 200 people to the 12 to 1,500,000 people we draw now,
Yeah.
It's crazy. And we have a really good set of loyal fans. And I hope they actually come out this week because a lot of my ticket sales right now are from out of town. A lot of people from England and, out of the country are people who don't normally get the chance to see Wildcat.
Is the trickle-down effect coming from WrestleMania
into
WrestleCon and
exactly.
throughout the week?
So I know we have a lot of sales from out of town right now, and I'm hoping our local fans supporting this one because one of the reasons I wanted to do our show here at WrestleMania weekend, I wanted to show them how great our fans are here are and how invested they are in our product. So our fans are always loud. They're always crazy. They always – and I just don't know, I'm hoping they don't go, oh, we're going to sit this one out for Wildcat because we're going to go to NXT and we're going to go spend the money here and there.
Yeah.
We're putting on a massive event. I mean, I know we'll have our loyal fans, but you just never know on a show like this. It's a whole different ball game. This show, we usually run at Grace King's Auditorium or something like that. This time we got the Sugar Mill, and the Sugar Mill is massive. I want to fill that place up, and I want to show everybody here or across the world what we got coming out of New Orleans. We have the best promotion going today. I think we're the best promotion in the United States. I think we're better than Ring of Honor or any other promotion around. We just don't have the billions of dollars like some of those companies do. We don't have the millions of dollars. We're not backed by Sinclair. We're not backed by all these companies like WWE is. And no knock against them because I work with them. I love them. I think they're great companies. But I feel what we have here is very, very special.
Yeah. What do you want to do with Wildcat? Where do you see the future?
I have no limitations. I never was interested in being, competition or anything else to any other promotion. But I did want to be an alternative product. What I'd like to do is have our company grow big enough to where our guys don't have to worry about going to a company like WWE. They can go and have a full-time job with Wildcat.
Yeah.
So, it'd be nice if we can – we're starting to really blast out. We got shows in Philadelphia. We're going to run some shows in North Carolina. We've already been in San Diego and several other states, So – we're starting to run branches in different areas.
Yeah.
And it's big. We ran the ECW Arena, which was big for us.
That's incredible.
We're going back. We're actually announcing it the day after WrestleMania. We're announcing our return date.
Yeah.
So, and that was a big show for us. So as long as we can keep growing, hopefully our TV branches out bigger, too, and we go nationwide. Because right now we're across southeast Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think we stop around the Gulfport area. So, obviously, I want to branch out into, all over
around
Louisiana.
The Gulf Coast, for sure.
Definitely around the Gulf Coast, and I'd like to run different areas like Mobile, Alabama, and run Lafayette, and run different areas of Louisiana, and branch out a little more, other than just this little southeast region.
Yeah, Roy, when you look at Wildcat Pro Wrestling compared to some of the other promotions that are on the same level as Wildcat over in the UK, how does Wildcat stand out compared to the others?
Well, that's up there with the best ones in the UK, definitely. That's up there with WAW is my dad's company. We've run it 25 years. We get big crowds. You get PCW, big crowd. He's up there. That would hold his own in the UK, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's a big company.
And the thing is, they have these camps, in the summer, they have these things called holiday camps. Tell them about the holiday camps.
Yeah, well, when I started wrestling, I was doing 16 shows a week,
mm-hmm.
5 shows a day, and that's putting a ring up and down. So the holiday camps you do for 8 weeks in the summer, basically they're people going on holiday.
Sure.
You do shows all for 8 weeks, basically. So literally you're doing something like 70 shows in 8 weeks.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
that's good
80
stuff,
shows.
Man.
So I'll do 200 shows a year in the UK. So.
Now, independent wrestling has absolutely just taken a whole new world compared to what it used to be. But as we wind down here, guys, Luke, once again, Thursday, Tell us about
it. So Thursday, tickets are sold at WrestleCon.com, or you can go through our website, WildcatWrestling.com, mm-hmm. and have a link over to it. They'll also be sold at the door. General admission start at $25. I think we still have some third and fourth row available. I know I think first and second row are completely sold out. But we'll probably have, hopefully, you know, the place holds a little over 2,000 yeah. people. So, like, but tickets will be available. There's some big matches coming up, too. We got Johnny Flex versus Ken Dixon for the Revolution title. We have Steve Anthony versus Mr. 450 from the Crash in Mexico. We have Bucudal and Sexy Chino versus yeah. Shane Taylor and Ryan Davidson. We have a three-way dance with Caleb Conley, Mike Dell versus Barrett Brown. That one would be crazy. I think I laid out all the matches pretty much. It's just, Jerry Lynn's coming. He's going to be a special guest referee for the international tag match. And the reason we had that, Jerry Lynn retired. To me, he was one of the best promoters.
Oh,
you know, one of the best wrestlers ever.
Brilliant.
Very underrated. And I thought, I'm just talking about his skill. Like his
sure.
skills were phenomenal.
Pristine. He was phenomenal.
And
yeah.
he was a dream match of mine. So Jerry actually came in. He was the main event against me for the very first Wildcat Wrestling show.
Oh, great.
So in 2011, yeah. it was me versus Jerry Lynn for the very first show. So he's coming back for this one, and he's going to be the special guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done anything physical in a ring since he's retired.
Sure.
So this is a big, you know, plus for me to have Jerry there. Like, again, to have somebody I'm close with, somebody who I respect because I was on his retirement show. Look, I have all the praise in the world for Jerry
sure.
Lynn, so I really appreciate him coming out and doing this.
That's awesome. Roy Knight, how can people follow you on Twitter, my friend?
How can they follow me? Just go to at Roy Knight and the UK Hooligans.
That sounds good, yep. man. Luke Hawks, throw out all the socials,
yeah.
brother.
Okay, so everything is at Wildcat Sports, WILDKAT at Wildcat Sports, or if you want to follow me personally, it's at Luke Hawks 504, LukeHawx 504. Hit me up, and if you have any questions, you know, like I said, send me a message. If everybody knows, I'm really big in the fitness world as well, so you see me a lot of the gyms.
Yeah, a lot of Instagram pics.
A lot of Instagram pictures with my shirts off. So,
tight shorts.
You know, yeah, tight shorts.
Of course, like Gus, Cat, and Gil.
the girls pecs. Love it. The guys hate it.
Yeah.
Some guys love it, and that's cool. But,
yeah.
Dan. I work hard. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks a whole lot for sitting in with us and finally, you know, telling our listeners what Wildcat Sports is all about.
Nah, thanks for having us, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the fans who support us locally because without the fans, we'd be absolutely nothing. You know,
yeah.
we have a great fan base here. I love them, and I can't thank them enough for everything they do for Wildcat.
That's awesome. Well, we'll be there Thursday, without a doubt, at the Sugar Mill for Wildcat Sports during WrestleCon.
Yeah.
And we're going to get Gus in the ring. He's going to take a back bump at some point, right?
We're going to have to do
sure,
something.
Well, why not? Let's do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, get him in.
Yeah, we're going to
Well, thanks a ton. Luke Hawks, Roy Knight, Wildcat Sports coming up this Thursday at the Sugar Mill. Thanks a ton, guys.
You guys have a great day.
All right. Goose, hour two winding up. What do we got for the third hour?
Hello, Jake Madison to talk a little Pels. Also, Brian and Nola East will join us back once again as well. We'll continue to chat our conversation again tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun as Paul Heyman comes in. In
Paul
studio.
Heyman.
It's going to be super fun, and looking forward to that. And Jake Ross. Jim Ross coming.
Good
in.
Old JR. Come
yeah,
on,
exactly.
Goose.
Exactly. We'll have all of that and much, much more. Plus, Jersey Steve R. Bernstein, who will be the winner of the Walk-Ons Bracket Challenge. We have both their names who will pull the name out of the hat.
Yep. Also, Kenny Farrell's in the house.
Yes.
2:30. A little on the pitch.
All that and more. Don't go anywhere. We're still live at Walk-Ons. Oh, you know what? How about this? We'll open up next hour by giving away the WWE SmackDown
Let's
tickets.
Let's do it. I like
it. We already drew the winners. Brett and Jacques for WrestleMania. The tickets are still here.
Still here for now.
For now.
For now.
We'll give that to them. Hour two up next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.